The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Welcome in, everybody. It's time for another edition of the award-winning program, Kiefer and Curry. I'm Kip Kiefer, joined by Tony Curry here on Tony Curry Radio. Always good to be on a show rubbing elbows with the guy whose name is on the door. Tony, how are you today?
I'm doing fantastic, man. I appreciate that. By the way, I love doing this show with you. It's amazing that both of us have gotten probably nearly 100 years of broadcasting experience, and we've never done shows together. We've done some things in passing. I've appeared on, you know, Wanna Bet and some different things you've done on television. By the way, we have a TV show we're coming up with. We're taking it to another medium. So we're going to be the kings of all media a little bit later on this year. We're streaming. We're on radio. We're going to be on television. That show's going to be on ABC 3340 at 10:30 a.m. Central Time coming up a little bit later on in early September. We'll be talking lots of college football, a lot of surprises, and unlike any type of college football show you've ever seen on television. So make sure you're looking out for that. But it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Yeah, thanks. We're excited about the TV show.
Me too.
Yeah. It's going to be the half hour leading into the kickoff for the ABC 11 o'clock window games. So we'll be the last voices you hear to get you ready for action. And this year, particularly with the SEC shifting exclusively to ABC ESPN, the CBS contract is over. So a lot of the times, Tony, I think our games on Saturday morning, our show before those games, will be involving SEC teams. So that's an exciting thing for all of us. And you're right. We're going to bring a really interesting kind of show and showcase a lot of diverse opinions and a lot of people that you're going to really want to hear from. So mark that down. 10:30 a.m. Saturday mornings, starting right in the first of September when college football kicks off.
It's going to be awesome. Two faces for radio on television. I can't wait.
Speaking of college football and college sports, what I'd like to talk about today and get your thoughts on, and everybody, hopefully you'll put on your listening devices and thinking caps and have some ideas based on Tony and I's discussion. But Tony, I'm concerned that college sports as we know it is kind of on the gurney with an irregular heartbeat at best. I'm concerned with all the changes and everything swirling around, and life is about changes. I'm not one of these dinosaurs that say, you know, back in 1930s, we had it all going on and everything was great. Times change, things evolve, but I am really concerned based on a lot of different things that college sports as we know it is definitely in critical condition. And I'm wondering if it can survive in any fashion as we know it.
You know, well, that's a great question. And I think we kind of got the precursor to that just a couple years ago when Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh said the NCAA is not above the law. Uh-oh. It used to be the NCAA carried a big stick. And whenever you, what I think about the most is whenever you heard the NCAA was investigating your program, oh my gosh, it was going to be taken over the airwaves for the next 6 or 7 months. You don't even hear about that anymore because the NCAA stick is no longer a stick at all. And it's what's amazing to me, Kip, about this whole situation. And I'm blessed enough to do a show with Mark Ingram, who, of course, is the UAB athletic director every single week. So I get to pull the curtain back and really get a feel for where it's coming from. We could talk about X's and O's all you want with coaches. But when you're talking about college athletes, student athletes, and the athletic departments in general, it's just great to get his insight on this. He called this 3 years ago. He's like, listen, this is probably where it needs to go. Kids need, you know, we tried to do this stipend thing, which was an absolute joke. You know, the whole idea was I have to work, you know, I have to practice my 20 hours a week. I'm not allowed to hold a job and I don't even have pizza money. Remember everyone talked about, I don't even have money to take my girlfriend out on Friday nights. Well, all of a sudden we started getting stipends, which was $2,000 or $3,000, I guess, per semester. We thought that was going to suffice. And once that was the giant NCAA college athletics dam. And what that did was someone took a screwdriver and just poked a hole in it, and it started trickling out like a dog peeing on a tree. And next thing you know, it broke open. And now it is wide open with NIL, with transfer portals, and with everything else. That really feels like it's making college sports just a thing of the past.
Well, NIL is a great place to start. And you mentioned the NCAA. The NCAA is complicit in everything bad that's happening right now, because for so long, like you said, they were the big bad bully enforcement agency, which kind of pick and chose. We're seeing a lot of this in our current government. There were different people that had different degrees of scrutiny and enforcement. And the NCAA really went through, and it's amazing to me that they're still even in action, because Georgia and Oklahoma back in the 90s sued to be emancipated, all college football, from the NCAA being the exclusive arbiter and holder of the rights to college football. Until that suit was settled, and once again, it was a slam dunk decision for the universities, the NCAA collected all of the money and, you know, distributed it to the member institutions. But the NCAA really should never have played a role in that. And they continue, because they have a long-term agreement with the networks, to have that power over the NCAA basketball tournament. And that's where they derive all of their revenue now. So with all of this coming, with players, and Tony, I'm a capitalist. I believe in America and free enterprise. I believe if a kid is prominent enough where there's a demand for his jersey or his signature, or for him to appear at a car dealer and shake hands and they give him $500. This is America, Tony. I would be a complete hypocrite if I said, well, this is amateur sports. These guys shouldn't be able to be compensated. But, you know, again, if their skills and their talent, call for that, I think it's absolutely essential. And I think any sensible person reached that conclusion a long time ago. But the NCAA spent millions and millions of dollars on litigation right up until that Supreme Court case you just cited to fight this opportunity for athletes to make any money based on a doctrine of violation of fairness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, and is it fair that you and I are so outstanding in our field, but you know, we're not a pharmaceutical general manager. We're not making $5 million a year with, you know, $3 million bonuses. Yeah. We deserve that, yeah. But is that fair? Yeah. You know, if you're a superstar quarterback and the long snapper on the punt team isn't getting the same compensation that you can earn, that's not a question of fairness. That's just the system.
Well, no, and I think that's where a lot of people thought this was going to go. And I was one of them, I'll be honest with you. And we mentioned, you know, the NCAA. If they're not carrying the big stick, there's a guy named Greg Sankey who now is. He's the one that's meeting up in Washington, D.C. He's the one saying, listen, this needs to stop. What's amazing to me is they let the cat out of the bag, and then now they're surprised by it. I thought that if you were a five-star kid and you're coming into the Michigan or Alabama and you were Bryce or whoever you were, and you were the reason why you were bringing so many eyeballs to the television, you were going to be a Heisman Trophy hopeful, I thought those guys were probably going to get paid. When you look at the Oklahoma State Cowboys situation, where every player on the football team gets paid, I'm a capitalist too. I am not faulting the exploitation of what happened here. There's a lot of smart people go, okay, we've got something cool. You mentioned the NCAA. That's a non-for-profit. It's a non-for-profit. The NCAA is a non-for-profit. Do I think there should be an organization that should protect student athletes? Yes. I think Title IX was huge. I think they were a big part of that. I think the NCAA, despite the fact we hate them, I think they did a lot of wonderful things up until this point. I don't think they're doing anything wonderful now. But these collectives are a joke. All you got to do now is, and UAB's got, I think, three of them. UAB's got three of them. Imagine what they have down at Auburn and have at Alabama. All you have to do is go out and collect money from your big bad boosters, the ones that want to bring in these five-star kids from Jacksonville, Florida into Nebraska. And okay, what's it going to take to make that happen? They put price tags on those things. The money goes to the collective. The collective is a non-for-profit because the collective says a portion of all monies that come in are going to be going to St. Jude's Research Hospital, or it's going to go to Big Brothers, Big Sisters, or whatever. Normally, it's about 3 to 4 to 5%. The rest of the money is either going to the person who brought it in, or it's going into the pockets of these kids. So I'm not faulting these guys, because again, someone took a screwdriver to the dam and we got a little spurt of water and the thing is just blown up. And now all these collectives, and of course they have to get paid, right? The people who run these collectives, they have to get paid.
Of course.
Where's the money going? So all of a sudden you got a kid saying, hey, listen, I want $50,000 to be the next quarterback in Michigan. Well, you know what? We can do 30, but we can't do any more than that. The other 20 is going in the back pocket of somewhere else. It's not going to charity for sure. So it's just gotten out of control. And again, we allowed that to happen. I thought that maybe one or two players per football team were worthy of having their face on Madden 24. And I thought maybe they should make money. But when players are making millions of dollars before they even take a snap in college sports, not in pros, in college sports, they're making millions of dollars before they even take a snap in college, then we got a major problem on our hands. And I don't know how that ends. And I don't know if it's going to be the death of college sports as we know it. College sports generates too much money. We even talked about it right here on this show on Kiefer and Curry, that the money that the NCAA generates the most from is for March Madness. The playoff system is a totally different thing. That has nothing to do with the NCAA at all, despite the fact that they look over our college athletics. And so their money comes from March Madness. It's only a matter of time where every stinking basketball player is going to get that. And then, hey, listen, and I know that we could do probably 15 shows on this. What about the bowling team? What about the archery team? What about the guy who owns the dealership that's making $50 million a year? And he says, I want my daughter to be the team archer. And he's starting to pay her. And then other gals who actually shoot the bullseyes more often aren't getting paid. I mean, it's a Pandora's box. And I think what's going to happen here is I don't think college sports are going to die, but I do think there's going to be a ton of fat cut off. And I think that's going to affect a lot of kids and a lot of different athletic departments.
Well, you did a great job laying it out, because I wanted to speak to why we're in this situation, because when finally the NCAA was squashed in the Supreme Court, still fighting the old notion that players can be compensated, you know, how ironic is it, Tony, that the NCAA, right up until these moments a couple of years ago where everything changed in terms of compensation of players, everything that organization was focused on and everybody they targeted, AKA big boosters and people that were throwing money around, now that's gone from becoming the ultimate felony, punishable by an SMU's case back mm-hmm. in the day,
yep.
The death penalty for 3 years of their program. You know, so you've gone, it's almost like making what was once perceived as murder, just a routine circumstance, because the same thing that Tennessee in the very last year, their timing wasn't too good under Jeremy Pruitt. They got slammed with a bunch of recruiting violations and offers of money. And 6 months later, it was the standard operating procedure.
Yep.
So it's really ridiculous. But the NCAA is responsible for this, because instead of seeing this coming, that legally there was no way they were going to hold off the compensation of players, they continued to spend millions of dollars and fight it all the way to the Supreme Court, where they lost, Tony, 9-0 mm-hmm. in the decision. When's the last time the Supreme Court has ever voted 9-0 on anything?
1912.
It's impossible. Yeah. That's what a terrible case they had, and yet they fought it tooth and nail instead of seeing it coming 3 or 4 years ago, sitting down with blue panel experts and coming up with an equitable system to make this work. It just got launched into space with absolutely no model, no procedure, no regulation. Now they're in a terrible mess because state laws are different across the country and how this can be legislated and enforced and distributed. So now Greg Sankey and all the college football people are up in Washington begging Congress to get involved and pass federal legislation of how this would work. And you listen to my show on your air all the time, Need to Know. You know my opinion on how good government is at anything. Going to the federal government and saying, fix this? oh my God, we're I'm like the guy in the old Gulliver's Travel cartoon. We're doomed.
The last time they did that, I think the Supreme Court justice voted 9-0. It was the last time that someone actually went to Congress and said, can I get your help here? It just, it doesn't happen. No, and I think, and again, if Greg Sankey's doing it, Greg Sankey, he's the golden boy right now, and I think he's going to be the gold one for quite some time. He's the one that's carrying the big stick. He's the one that's going to make that happen. And if you're a college athlete, listen, if you're a college athlete right now, you're just kind of going for the ride. And if you got a deal, you got a deal. It's going to be done. The thing about the NCAA that has been so just amiss to me and just makes me mystified is the NCAA has never been proactive in anything. It's always been retroactive. It's like, yes, okay, this is what happened, and now we have to fix it. And they look like fools. They look like total idiots. They look like dolts. And the NCAA had a chance to get in front of this a long time. We've been talking about this for 10 years.
Absolutely.
Since guys were getting free wheels and free hubcaps down on 4th Avenue, man. I mean, we've been talking about this, Albert Means. We've been talking about this forever and ever and ever. And to your point, you know, it's funny. Just 3 years ago, if I was smoking a joint driving down Beale Street, I was going to prison for 3 years. Now everyone's smoking joints going down Beale Street. As a matter of fact, I don't think you're allowed to drive down Beale Street without smoking a joint in Memphis. So yeah, it's just, I mean, I'm all about times changing. I understand that things change. And you know, we can get into the whole, you know, and again, talking to Mark Ingram, an athletic director, I know what kind of side I'm going to get from him. He's got a budget he's got to look at. Okay. He wants to know where this money's coming from. Do you know how many athletic departments, not football teams, but athletic departments actually made money in 2021?
I know, it's really a small.
Let's go with six. Six.
Wow.
And that's their numbers. That's their numbers. Six athletic departments in college sports actually made money in 2021. There's not a ton of money out there when it comes to college sports. Now, is there a ton of booster money? Is there money from peewee, whatever, down in the pawn shop who wants to go ahead and spend $100,000 to bring a quarterback in from Jackson, Mississippi? Yeah, there's plenty of money out there, but that money doesn't go through the institutions. It goes through these collectives, so they're not part of this. And so you really got the universities kind of in a pickle here. Meanwhile, you're trying to figure out how to compete for a national title. And now that we're going to 12 teams next year, which I think is going to be brilliant, I think it's going to be fun. We're now going to have group of five teams get a chance to play for national championships. You got the UAB of the world that actually have hope. They can actually play in a playoff, which would be fantastic. Now you're wondering, how in the world are we supposed to compete with these big boys? And I think what's ultimately going to happen is I think you're going to end up having six college football, basketball, archery, bowling leagues, if you will. You're going to have six conferences, and if you're not in those six conferences, you're going to probably be one of these Shelton State type of schools where you're going to be doing playoff type of football or playoff type archery or whatever. And that's unfortunate because I am an all-inclusive guy, and I like to see everybody at the college level, at least D1 level, get a chance to play for a championship.
Since we're on the subject of college sports being in jeopardy, and a big part of college sports, largely due to Title IX, which was instituted all the way back in the Richard Nixon administration, which gave basically an edict that female sports have to be equally representative to male sports proportionally. Female sports, Tony, are in tremendous jeopardy because of the infusion of transitioning and, you know, maybe even completely switched over gender situations, the intrusion of males into female sports. And on the college level, that's something that also has not been dealt with effectively. The NCAA seems to be doing what it always does and kind of looking the other way. And basically, their primary role now is to sanction championship events, which I don't really think they're particularly expert in. I think the conferences could take on that responsibility themselves in clusters and collective groups of representatives. But anyway, you've got this gender problem in female sports, and it's amazing to me talking because I'm around a lot of millennials, my sons and people from that generation that are, you know, starting to get into their 30s and whatnot. And most of them just kind of shrug and say, oh, it's all overblown. You know, it's no big deal. But I'm telling you, if I had daughters and you've got a daughter, if she was an athlete and she doesn't get a chance to participate in an event or does get a chance to participate only to be dominated by a, quote, transitional male, unquote, women's sports are in real jeopardy now, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know how far traditional is going to go because it is such a small number. I get where you're going there. And by the way, I saw the Alabama Fire play the Atlanta Rage a couple of weeks ago. It is women's professional tackle football. It is the most amazing thing I've ever seen. I really enjoyed it. It was fantastic. I think that, and like I said earlier, I think there's going to be a lot of fat cut off these programs, and UAB is a perfect example of how much this is going to affect the university based on what Washington or Congress decides of what they want to do with Greg Sankey and the rest of the situation. Because you've got a program. Why do people come to your university? They come there to obviously get an education, and they come to play sports. They come to be part of a big community and engage with the university. And normally the more sports or the more groups that you can have involved in, that is a wonderful thing. My son went to Xavier University to go look at their program. They don't have a football program, but they have a great debate team. They have a pickleball team. They have 47 different sports, which I wasn't even aware of. I know it wasn't 47 when I went to college there in 1985. And that opens the doors to a lot of different inclusive and exclusive groups of kids that get to show off their wares and get to do different things on weekends and be part of wonderful groups. And I think that's great. If all of a sudden money is the king cow here, and it will be, and all of a sudden you're saying, hey, listen, we can no longer fund women's archery, or we can, and you think, well, you know, who cares about women's archery? Well, go ask the woman who's the women archery coach if it's important. It does affect a lot of people, and it affects their fan base because there are people that watch that. Okay, does it affect your soccer team? I mean, does it affect your bowling team? And we saw that with UAB. Hell, they did that 5, 6, 7 years ago where they got rid of the football program because they couldn't make it work. Imagine what's going to happen when that money starts to dry up because it's all either going to collectives or they've got a mess on their hands. And I mean, this is like running a small country, Kip. This is like running a small country. It's like starting all over again. Okay, here's the money that's coming in. Where is it coming from? Can we count on these boosters every single year? And how are we going to delegate this money among not only the men, but the women and the transgenders, if you want to go that route? How are we going to delegate this money in order to keep all these other programs? Because it's going to dry up. There's going to be a lot. And I say fat. I don't mean that fat means it's not a good program. I'm just saying if you've got a bowling team, good luck. There's a good chance that you're going to be going pro on your own.
Yeah. Well, conversely, Tony, and we've already seen this happen when Title IX was initiated. It's not just women's sports like archery or bowling or whatever. Men's sports get affected because of Title IX, colleges are painted into that box where they have to have proportionally as many opportunities for women athletes as males. So they can't just go, well, this is an unproductive program, we're going to cut that. They can do that, but they're going to have to do it on both sides of the ledger. And it's going to be really excruciating for a lot of participants in a lot of sports because they're not going to have a place to play anymore.
Do you think that we can do this without the NCAA?
Oh, absolutely. The NCAA, needs to be. I think of the hotels that are imploded from old Las Vegas on the Strip, and they go 3, 2, 1, and it just collapses. The NCAA building in Indianapolis needs to have those devices hooked up tomorrow and bring it to the ground. The NCAA is obsolete. It serves no purpose. It still rakes in almost $1 billion a year, Tony, just because somehow they have the rights to the NCAA basketball tournament. I can't for the life of me understand why the universities haven't filed suit to seize back control of their own program's biggest event, but they don't.
Well, it's because the NCAA is paying it out. Yeah, it's because they're getting money from the NCAA.
And
they feel
right,
like, you know,
right.
it's like trying to blow up your dad, and you keep Venmoing him. So let me ask you this, then we'll take it a step further. If the NCAA doesn't exist, who does have the backs of student athletes as we know it in college sports?
Well, you would have to have, and again, this is kind of getting away from the whole concept of college sports, which is the premise of what we started talking about here. You would probably have to have a commissioner, a czar, like the NFL, like Major League Baseball, like the NBA, with a whole office structure of people that are hired by a collective of the universities. I think we're heading in the direction of these super conference concepts. Every year, the conferences are expanding because the television money is so lucrative. The expansion of the football playoffs is going to be such a cash cow that if you can get your institution positioned into one of these mega conferences, you're going to be the big beneficiary, and these budgets you're talking about are going to be enhanced. But I think that's the direction we're going. We've got to, the NCAA serves no purpose. They need to be eliminated in favor of, if you're making this step in the way of money and compensation, you have to almost run this like a professional sport. And it gets back to my original question. College sports, as we know it, is definitely in critical condition.
Does it bother you that, and I still believe that college sports are amateurs, because not everyone gets paid. And I love the futility, if you will. I love the frugalness. I love the fact that you have these young kids trying to show their wares on a national level. And I know they're running the precipices of being athletes at another level. But does it bother you to think that someday we may have professional sports? We know with the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, and then we're going to have college sports, or you can call it whatever you want. But they're basically going to be the same, but it's just going to be a different age group. We're going to have 16 to 19 year olds in one group, and we're going to have 19 and up. And another question is, if you can go straight from high school to the NBA, are you going to start seeing that at every level? Because you're not going to have any college experience anymore, particularly if it's not amateur anymore.
Yeah, the only reason we don't see that already is because the professional ranks have, come to a basic, maybe under the table agreement with college sports, not to encourage these 17 and 18 year olds to try to bypass college sports for the pros immediately. But I think if there's ever a serious legal challenge, I don't see how that holds up. I don't think the leagues are, probably going to get away with imposing limits on who can participate. If LeBron James came right out of high school and he did pretty well. So I think there's a lot of precedent there, because in this area, he had to go to college for a year. And so I don't know, Tony. I think the landscape is definitely going to change, and we just better get used to that idea. I agree with you. I don't think college sports is going to disappear. It's too lucrative. But I think as we are familiar with it now, it's going to be completely reshaped. And, one other point, if I'm in a locker room and I think I'm a pretty good player, but for whatever reason, I'm not attracting much attention, nobody's throwing sponsorship dollars at me, or if they are, they're minuscule. And I look across the room and I see a guy that's, getting $2 million to be the star running back. And I'm thinking to myself, this guy's not much better than me. This isn't fair. There's going to start being friction problems in those ranks. And at least in pro sports, you've got a contract, you're a professional, you sign an agreement, you agree on a rate of compensation. So I'm sure there's some resentment and jealousy at that level, but it won't be like this, where you're actually marketing yourself to outside interests. And I just think you're going to start to see a lot of friction and resentment in college locker rooms and college sports because of the inequity of the situation. Yeah,
it may be time for all of us to pull our own Jerry Maguire. It could be Kip Kiefer, could be an agent at large, because there's going to be a lot of kids out there looking for agents. And I'll throw this out to end this particular show. In 2022, there were 520,000 student athletes in the United States of America. That is an all-time high. So you have more kids now playing organized sports than ever before. I'm not sure what that means. We used to always say, hey, listen, you need to go get your college education, because less than 2% of all those college kids play at the next level. Will that number be closer to maybe 100% before it's all said and done, because everyone's got to get paid? And that 520,000, will it be half that in the next 5 to 10 years? It's going to be really interesting to see.
Yeah, and remember, Tony, Jerry Maguire didn't write a memo. It was a mission statement.
Yeah. Show me the money!
Another great sports movie. If you've never seen Jerry Maguire, Cuba Gooding Jr.'s performance as Rod Tidwell is one of the all-time great roles.
It's the Kiefer and Curry Show. We'll do it again next week. If you got any thoughts on this, about college sports, about the NIL, about the transfer portal, whatever you want to talk about, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can hear the show every Monday through Friday at 1 o'clock. You miss any parts of it, listen to the next day. And, of course, go back and listen to all of our Kiefer and Curry shows right here on the Tony Curry Radio Podcast Network. Tony Curry Radio, that's K-U-R-R-E, Curry Podcast, and check it out. And don't forget our big TV show coming up here in just about a month on ABC 3340, 10:30 a.m. It butts right up against the SEC Game of the Week through ABC and ESPN, 11 o'clock. We'll be on at 10:30, going to fill that last half an hour with a show that you've never seen before. It's going to be fantastic on television. Until next week, Kip, thank you so much.
Honey, enjoy it as always.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.